This week I read quite extensively into various items relating to the gathering of Israel and things that are connected to this, the timing of it, and I probably will only begin to touch upon it tonight because it is a large, tremendous subject. In fact, there's pages of things that one could present upon it. But I've chosen one passage tonight from 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter, and it's found in verses 57 through 59. It's on page 629. Yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that dwell at Jerusalem, as ye that have fallen, yea, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, if ye will repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. But if not, O house of Israel, the places of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers. Now there's considerable contained in this particular reading here. And more specifically, it's partly the Jews who are a part of Israel, but this does say the house of Israel. How oft would he have gathered them? And they would not because of the way of life they lived. And yet his arm is still extended to those of the house of Israel to gather them in on the conditions of repentance. But he says, if you will not repent, he said, your dwelling shall become desolate. And then it gives a time, until the time of the fulfilling of the covenants unto your fathers. And it would be well to turn to a bit to some of those covenants at this time. Let's turn over to the book of Genesis, found in the 12th chapter. And this is the first three verses concerning some statement to Abraham, called Abram, and yet in this case. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, incidentally, when the Lord spoke to Abraham of old, he was 75 years old when this statement was made to him, to leave his home and his security and go to another land. But you know, here was a man of God. He believed God, and he did this. And then he said in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, that is of Abraham, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And why would Abraham be a blessing? Because of his faith and because of his desire to serve the Lord. Then I think the next verse really answers it rather well. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so lest we forget, the blessing that was given to Abraham is outreaching unto all the families of the earth. And you and I can avail ourselves of this blessing as well through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to the 26th chapter of this same book. And we find after Abraham died, and the record of it is in the 25th chapter, we find a statement was made to Isaac, further clarifying this blessing of Abraham and this covenant. And incidentally, in the first verse, it tells it was in a day that there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that came in the days of Abraham. And he was told to not go down to the land of Egypt, but he says, go to the land which I shall tell thee of. And now I would like to start reading in verse 3. And it says, sojourn in this land. And see again these things. I hope you can keep kind of track of these things, because they kind of tie together, showing the really great impact of the covenant that the Lord made unto Abraham and to the seed of Isaac and on down to Jacob and then to the so-called tribes of Israel, the lost tribes as well as the Jews, who are all a part of Israel. And it is a marvelous blessing that's been pronounced upon these people of old. But all too often they walked in other paths. And he told them to sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. In other words, the land that the Lord would tell him to go. And will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. That's the number one blessing pronounced upon them. To multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries, if they were obedient. And let me tell you, they would have never been given those countries if the people who lived there were obedient to the Lord. But they were not. And that's why Israel, when they went in, they were obedient and they got the land through the promise that the Lord made unto this house of Israel. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now why all this? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. When he was a person 75 years old, the Lord says, you go from where your home is and you go to this other place. He obeyed. He believed God. And not only that, it says that Abraham obeyed my voice, but he says, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That's what he did. We could expect similar blessings by likewise keeping these commandments, these statutes, and the laws. I would like to turn over to Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, and this is found in verses 32 and 33. Now this is a little further of the commandments that was made to the children of Israel, and this was actually after they came out of the land of Egypt, after they had lived there those many years and came to the promised land. And they were given certain charges. Now, I'm not going to read all these because there isn't near enough time. But if you want to read over in Deuteronomy the 28th, it gives you a lot of the marvelous things that he said could be theirs. Well, let's read here. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Now that's what he told Israel of old. You shall observe to do this. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now note this. This is fine advice for any of one of us today. But it was made to a people of old. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. And sometimes in our humanness, we walk in other ways, contrary to the way of God. And sometimes we stumble in our path, and because of this, we suffer consequences, distress, and trials that we need not to have even suffered. And so it was with these people. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Now, incidentally, and I'm just going to briefly touch upon this, I'm not going to turn to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, but I would invite you to read it, because in this chapter, it gives a lot of the blessings and the promises that could be the house of Israel to enjoy. It told them they would be blessed in the basket, in the store, in their offspring, and whatsoever they set their hand to do. And they would be a great nation upon the face of the earth, if they would but serve God and keep his commandments. And there's many blessings promised unto that people of old if they would have abided to the commandments of God. But we notice they chose, by reading the scriptures, we can find this, other paths to follow. Even though at times they walked very closely to God, there was times when they stumbled and they chose other paths. And as a result of this, this same chapter said, if you do not do this, by the same token of the blessings you could have had, these cursings will come upon you. You will be cursed in the basket, in the store, in your offspring, and on down through various things that would be their lot. Now Israel did not heed the commandments of the Lord. They came to the place where they did not. And we know the story of how they were led away into captivity. First, the 10 tribes, the so-called lost tribes of Israel, were carried away by the king of Assyria into lands that they knew not about. And then secondly, the Jews were carried away out of Jerusalem. Let's turn back to the 4th chapter of Deuteronomy. And this is found in verses 27 through 31. And it says, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. That is, if they fail to serve God. And ye shall be left few in number among the heathen. There was many of them carried, even among the heathen nations. Whither the Lord shall lead you. Why? Because they failed to serve the Lord. And this is what could be theirs. And there ye shall serve gods, and the work of men's hands, wood and stone. And so it was. Israel served other gods, the gods of wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence, even though it says here, even under these conditions, but if thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And that's the important part. We sung a song, just a whispered prayer, and he is there. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and there is the qualification. This Israel must seek him with all their heart and with all their soul. Likewise, if we really expect to receive fully, we must heed this same advice of seeking the Lord. When thou art in tribulation, And all these things are come upon thee. And note this. Even in the latter days. Now we're bringing it down to a different time. Way down. The time of the latter days. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. And I'm going to skip the parenthetical statement because it carries on a little better. He will not forsake thee. And go back and read the parenthetical one. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. So if they're obedient to his voice, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee. And note this, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. And I only read a bit of them. A whole evening of a sermon could be spent upon the covenant alone. You could spend several sermons upon this particular subject. But I've chosen to take some key points this evening and bring them to our attention. Now I would like to turn over to Jeremiah. And this is found in the 31st chapter. And in verses 10 through 12, or at least a part of 12. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it unto the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him. And this is one of the great promises unto the house of Israel, that God who scattered them will gather them. And a lot of these things could be much nearer than maybe, perhaps, we might even think. And keep him as a shepherd doth his flock, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. It's going to take the hand of the Lord. But it's going to take a people who are willing to turn to the Lord, to avail herself of the power of the hand of the Lord. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. And it goes on to say, for the wheat, the wine, the young, the flock, the herd, and so forth. And it says, their soul shall be like a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. That's taking in a lot of territory. In fact, I think it will go right in to the millennium reign, of which I plan to touch upon a bit also this evening. Now I would like to turn back to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. This is found in verses 7 and 8. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. What are they talking about here? Let's go back a little bit. When the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt, we're well aware that before they left, there were 10 plagues pronounced upon the Egyptian people. And I won't go into every plague in detail, the last of which was the Passover, in which an angel, a death angel, passed over the house of the Egyptians and killed the firstborn. He killed the firstborn of the flocks and all this. But those who had the blood of a lamb over the lintel, the death angel passed over them and spared their household. which was the lot of the children of Israel. And then after this, the Pharaoh was willing to let this people go. But as soon as he let them go, he sent his army shortly after that to pursue them, to bring them back. And they came to the Red Sea, and the Lord opened the way that they could pass over. He caused the sea to part and the wind to blow, and the children of Israel passed over dry shod, with a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left. And the Egyptians and their armies followed through, and the Lord again helped. It said he removed the wheels of the chariots, and these Egyptians drave the chariot heavily, it said. But as soon as the children of Israel passed over, the Lord caused the water to come over, and those who pursued them to do them damage were drowned in the depths of that sea. And then we know of the marvelous happenings to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now let's go back here. It said, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. That's bringing back all of Israel from the north country and all the countries whither I've driven them. And there's other places it mentions, the isles of the sea. And I wouldn't have time to turn to all of them tonight. I would like to turn to 2 Nephi on page 141. And read verses 25 through 28. Now this is a reading which specifically references the Jews. And there's a lot of thinking today by many peoples that the Jews are all there is to Israel. But they're really only a part of Israel, because there's also 10 lost tribes. And beside the Jews, there's also those who live upon this continent. Of course, sometimes they referred to themselves likewise as Jews, because they came out from Jerusalem and they lived there one time. Well, let's read. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered among all nations. Yea, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. This is all history. It happened. And after they have been scattered, and the Lord God has scourged them by other nations for the space of many generations, yea, even down from one generation, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ. So there's a time when they're going to be persuaded to believe in Christ. That is the Jews, the Son of God, and the atonement, which is infinite for all mankind. And when that day shall come, that they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in His name, with pure hearts and clean hands, and look not forward any more for another Messiah, then at that time the day will come that it must deeds be expedient that they should believe these things. And the Lord will set his hand again the second time to restore his people from their lost and fallen state. Now I wanted to bring some of these things out, because really, we live indeed in a marvelous time. some of this has already started to unfold because some of the house of Israel are believing. We as a church have a work in Yucatan and two other areas in Mexico that is prospering in the house of Israel. There are others in other places who believe, but it's only barely started. But anyway, there's some great and marvelous things yet to come to pass. And it could be the lot of a number of us to see it, a lot of these things fulfilled. We don't know how quickly or how rapidly, but I know one thing. It is important in the line of world events and happenings that we prepare our life in a way that we might walk more closely to God and Christ. That we might be a part of whatsoever the Lord wants to use us in. I would like to turn back to 2 Nephi, or a little forward, I guess it is, in the 12th chapter. And this is found on page 156. In verse 50. Now, incidentally, I'm going to read a lot of the remainder of this chapter because I feel it's very pertinent to a lot of the things relating to the house of Israel. O ye Gentiles, have ye remembered the Jews, mine ancient covenant people? Have you done that? The question is asked many years ago, and today it could be voiced. Ye Gentiles, have ye remembered my ancient covenant people, the Jews? Nay, but ye have cursed them, and how true this is, and have hated them, and have not sought to recover them. But let me tell you, the work of the Lord will not be hindered or stopped. But behold, I will return all these things upon your own heads. For I, the Lord, have not forgotten my people, even though they might be used despitefully by many of mankind, the Lord has not forgotten them. And then comes up the statement, is quite commonly mentioned among many peoples. When you mention the Book of Mormon, there's many who say a Bible. We have a Bible. There can be no more Bible. There can't be any more. God spoke to a certain people and that's it. And that's what is the word that we should follow. And true, we should follow this word. But did God stop with just one people in one area? In verse 55, it says, Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord, your God, have created all men, and that I remember those upon the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath? And I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. And then it says, Wherefore murmur ye, because that ye shall receive more of my word. And then he goes on to tell them, and this is a marvelous thing, and we use that in our society. We have one person that testifies of something. But when another testifies, it bears more weight. When another testifies, it still bears more weight. And so he goes on to say, if you got two nations and I speak to both of them, then they really testify of it, see? And it shows that he remembers one nation like unto another. And when, in verse 16:1, and when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And so his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I like verse 63, and I want you to notice this verse concerning the work of God, its impact upon the peoples of the world and upon all eternity. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, not even today, right here, January 20th, 1985, it's not finished yet. Neither shall it be until the end of man, neither, and listen to this, from that time henceforth and forever. You can't even imagine what the full impact of the work of God is and of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is not yet finished, thenceforth, and forever. You can't even imagine forever. I can't. As long as you can think of anything, it's still longer. And I'm not going to try to spend a lot of time on it because I'd just be wasting my time. Well, anyway, concerning this Bible, there was a Bible written. And there were other records written. Verse 67, he says, I speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. I speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. I speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, and they shall write it. Then he says, I speak unto the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. Kind of a broad program, is it not? We got three key records here. The Bible, the Book of Mormon, and the record of the lost tribes of the house of Israel. But we also got another mentioned here. I shall speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it. But we have these three key ones. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites. There's one day when the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, which is the Book of Mormon. And the Jews and the Nephites and the Jews, well, I skipped one part here, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews as well. And vice versa, the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites. And the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and Jews. This has not happened. Two records we have. One day we're going to have that other. And no doubt there's going to be some others. But I want you to notice this 73rd verse. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home into the lands of their possession. And my word also shall be gathered in one. All these records, no matter where it is, they will agree. He will gather his word in one. It will have the same impact upon the children of men. And really, when you go to analyzing these things, what a marvelous day to live in when these things are fulfilled. There is prophecies that indicates that a lot of the prophets of old would like to live today and in the days that lie right ahead. But they have all gone to their reward. And we live today, and there will be others live yet ahead. But it is a marvelous day. And then it goes on down here. Maybe I better read verse 74. And I will shew unto them that fight against my word and against my people who are of the house of Israel that I am God, and that I covenanted with Abraham that I would remember his seed forever. What a covenant. What a blessing. All the nations of the earth can be blessed through this covenant. And now I want you to notice the words that follow. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that you're more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. Now, incidentally, the reason he made this statement was this. And that is, several places the prophet said concerning the Gentiles and what they would do and concerning some of their errors and things of life like unto this. And then he says to this people, you need not suppose that you be more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And there is the key thing. It don't matter who you are or where you are, except ye shall keep the commandments of God or the Lord, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, you need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. So you needn't suppose that they're utterly destroyed because of what was spoken. For behold, I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord. And there is the qualifying part that is so important, and that is repentance. And as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. So that shows just because the Jews are of the house of Israel does not mean one thing unless they're too willing to repent. But if they repent, there's great and marvelous blessings for them. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. So this shows rather plainly the important thing here is repentance, and he does not covenant with any except those who believe and repent and believe in his Son. And then he goes on and said that this book which should come forth, that there would be some of the Gentiles, and this is speaking about the Book of Mormon, that would believe it and carry it forth unto the remnant of our seed. And that our seed there would be those of the Lamanites or the house of Israel upon the American continents. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out from Jerusalem, and that they are descendants of the Jews. And that's why I said, even though specifically we know they're the house of Joseph and Manasseh. But then again it said, because they lived there, those who were left were called Jews. Judah, Benjamin, and Manasseh. But we find that the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among this people, and they shall know concerning Jesus Christ. And then you notice on down here in verse 84, and this has been going on for several years. In fact is, some Indian peoples believed back when the Book of Mormon first came out. But today there are more who are believing, and yet there is only a small part so far that has been touched to believe. and their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes. And many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a white and a delightsome people, that is, the Indian peoples. And it shall come to pass that the Jews which are scattered also shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to gather in upon the face of the land. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And so we see there's a lot to be done. Those here of the Indians will believe, at least those who repent. The Jews, when they believe, will also become a delightsome people. And then the work will commence among all of his people in the restoration of his people upon the earth. Over in 3 Nephi, and maybe because of the lateness of the hour, I won't turn to that. In the 10th chapter and in the first 7 verses, it tells concerning the Gentiles, and if they would believe that they could come into the covenant and that his church would be established among them. And then it goes on to say that the Gentiles shall assist his people, the Lamanites, the Indians, and as many as the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then we find that the great work of the Lord will also, it says, commence. It says the power of heaven will come down among them, and I also will be in their midst. Talking about Christ. He's doing the speaking there. And then it goes on to say that the work will commence among all the tribes of the earth, among all of Israel, and among all the nations, and they will be gathered in to their lands. And I invite you to read this particular reading, but I would like to read another at this time before I finish this from Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Because as we read on here, it also is quoting from Isaiah, the 11th chapter, but I want you to notice the way certain verses are heard and put, or placed in certain sequence. And in Isaiah 11, and I'm not going to read this whole chapter either, but in verse 4, and this is speaking of Jesus Christ, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. This is a thing that will happen. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. A marvelous thing to take place. And it goes on to tell about the cow and the bear and so forth shall feed together, and that their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And even the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. And it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And then it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And I want you to notice this, because in the Book of Mormon, It, so to speak, places this verse earlier in the chapter. And I would like to go back. It don't really quote that like that, but there's another verse that is comparable that it does that. Now I'd like to go back to page 159. Concerning this time when the scales of darkness shall fall from the eyes of the Indian peoples, and many generations shall not pass away, save they shall be a white and a delightsome people. And then the Jews also shall begin to believe, and as many as shall believe shall also become a delightsome people. Now, verse 87. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And now, the same as verse 4 follows. That's why I say it's a little different sequence, and I find it interesting to compare the records, because I believe we do have the Book of Mormon for further clarification and light. And it says, following that, the commencing of this work, the gathering in of Israel, the restoration of his people, and then it says, and with righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now here's a verse that was added that really makes it a little clearer. It's not in Isaiah 11. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. And then it goes back to what would be the same as verse 5 in Isaiah. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. And then it says, and then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb. After these other things take place, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And you notice it says, and then. It words it that way. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. And then it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wherefore, the things of all nations shall be made known, everything. Yea, all things shall be made known unto the children of men. There is nothing which is secret, save it shall be revealed. There is no work of darkness, save it shall be made manifest in the light. And there is nothing which is sealed upon the earth, save it shall be loosed. Wherefore, all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed. And then it says, and Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. And that's none other than the millennium reign of 1,000 years spoken of in Revelations, the 20th chapter. I have one other closing scripture from 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter. And this is found in verses 55 through about 62. A comparable reading. And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathered his children, and he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him, And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him shall they find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan has no power. It's that time wherein Satan will have no power for a long time over the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, he cannot be loosed for the space of many years. The righteousness of his people will do that. For he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. So what a marvelous thing this will be. And I think maybe two fitting verses, the next two, to close with. And now behold, I, Nephi, say unto you that all these things must come according to the flesh. But behold, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they repent.
Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock we have scripture study, and Brother Marvin Carroll has an announcement he'd like to make.
I'd like to, at this time, bring the church a man back here is in need of some glasses, and the ones he's had since 1967.